Please take your Bibles and be turning to the book of Corinthians. Let's make that 2 Corinthians. Before we begin, I would like to just say thank you, Pastor, so much for the opportunity to be with you. This is the first time we've visited Open Door Baptist Church, and we're truly honored to be here. Actually, if we left at this time, we could leave saying we've truly been blessed and greatly encouraged. Thank you. The place we're staying, the Prophet Chambers, the duplex, I guess as you refer to it, that is tremendous. My wife said, I want to live here. I want to make this my home. This is tremendous, and the kindness you've already shown to us, the meals, everything that you've done, Pastor, thank you so, so much for it. I'm glad that someone cared enough for me one day to share the truth of Jesus Christ with me. I was raised in a Christian home. Actually, I was about 5 years old when my parents began to attend church faithfully. But really, I can never remember a time I wasn't in church, but I was unsaved. I was later saved at the age of 12 years old, actually as a result of my father's witness. They had taken me to church again since I'd been about five, and I knew many of the Bible stories and could quote a lot of Scripture, but it wasn't in here. It was only here. And one evening, my dad asked me, said, will you go get my Bible and bring it to me? And I thought, oh no, here we go again. Haven't we had enough of this? I mean, that's what I was thinking as a boy. And so I took him his Bible, and I was ready to turn and go the other way. And he said, wait a minute, sit down here a minute. Turn to John chapter 3. And I said, okay. And he said, read it. And I said, the whole chapter? And he said, yes, I want you to read the whole chapter to me. So I did that. I read John chapter 3, and afterwards he said, do you understand what's taking place in this story? And I said, I do. And I did. And he said, do you want to do anything? Are you feeling anything? Do you want to do anything? Is there anything speaking to your heart? And there was, but I said, I don't want to do anything. He said, okay. So I did. Several weeks and months passed, but you know, there was a verse that I could not get out of my head. And it wasn't John 3:16. It was John chapter 3, verse 7. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So it was several weeks and months passed, but the Sunday before Christmas, 1974, I bowed in the altar and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. You know, it's never been the same, and I never want it to be. If you found 2 Corinthians, shouldn't be that difficult, right? Please go to chapter number 8. And then I would like to ask you to please stand in honor of reading God's Word, and I would like to read actually, just the first three verses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And I would appreciate you remain standing for prayer after we read these verses. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the reading of your word. How honored we are to have a copy of it in our own language that we can understand through the help of your Spirit. So many people around the world do not have a copy of your written word. Some of them have never even heard of your son and his sacrificial death on the cross. Now, Father, I ask that you would bless our time this evening. Father, I pray that you'd remove me and that you would speak. I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will truly be found acceptable in your sight. For we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, what I would like to do, Lord willing, in the next few evenings is actually sort of look at a series and begin this series with a foundation of looking at the Macedonian churches. And Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll look at more detail of two of these Macedonian churches. But we want to look at them in relationship to faith promise giving and to their giving. And in particular, we have gone here to the book of Corinthians, and the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, is writing to them with an issue in this passage of giving. Now, those of you that know your Bibles, you know that the Corinthian church was a church with some issues, right? They had some problems. They were not the most spiritual church in the New Testament. They had a lot of problems. And Paul spent some time in the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians talking with them about that and dealing with them. Well, in the chapters 8, 9, and 10, we see some issues about their giving that Paul is trying to encourage them in and trying to help them. So after about a year after the Corinthian church had actually made a promise to give, they had not given, the Apostle Paul writes to encourage them to give and encourage them in their giving. And he later, that we'll look at in the next few evenings, he later uses two other churches as examples to the Corinthian church to do what they should be doing, to do what they should be doing that's right. There are lessons, I believe, from Scripture we can learn today about these Macedonian churches that will also help us and encourage us today in our local churches as we give and with our faith promise giving. The Macedonians were very, very familiar with suffering. Many of them, no doubt, were ostracized by their family, their friends, in just trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The region of the world that my wife and I live and work in, this is very evident and very true, where family members actually will run other family members out of town if they become a Christian. It's something that we as Americans can never really comprehend or understand. In most cases, we will never know about that unless we visit another culture and we see some of these things firsthand. The churches of Macedonia understood this. Many of them suffered in just trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to look at a few passages, and again, in the preceding nights, Lord willing, we'll look in more detail, but follow with me through Scripture at a few passages this evening. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in" what? "In much affliction." But notice what also? "With joy of the Holy Ghost." "In much affliction and with much joy, they received the word of the Lord." Their suffering of the church at Thessalonica, their suffering was recorded and also some other places if you want to jot this down and perhaps look at this at a later time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Often the greatest blessings and spiritual growth come during times of great suffering. Is that not true? We know it's true throughout Scripture. And you know, folks, if we think about it, it's true in our own lives. Is it not? When you think about things you've experienced and I've experienced have come at times of difficulty, have come at times of suffering. But it's then that we feel God's presence and power the most sometimes. We praise Him for that. This church, these churches of Macedonia, these local churches, I might add, local churches, they knew what it was like to give. And they give sacrificially to the Lord. No person, I believe, today can truly give to God sacrificially until they first give what we know we're to give. I'm not going to be speaking about tithing during this conference. You should have already taken care of that. Okay? This is not a tithing conference. All right? If you've not taken care of that, you need to take care of that first before we can move to the next step of faith promise giving. Tithing is found in Scripture, but it's not found in the passage that we're dealing with here in 2 Corinthians. This is something different. This is not tithing. This is faith promise missions. Some might want to refer to it as grace giving. That's fine. It's the same thing. So after about 1 year prior of the Corinthian church making a commitment on their giving, the Apostle Paul writes this letter to them and encouraged them, now participate and do what you said you're going to do. So he's trying to encourage them to do right. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, down in verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for it is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So he's encouraging them. You made this commitment to the Lord. You made this promise. Don't make a promise or commitment just because somebody else is doing it. This is a promise and commitment between you and the Lord, and be faithful to do it. Carry through with it. He's encouraging them. So they had not, obviously, they had not kept their promise, as we can see from this passage. So he's challenging them and encouraging them to do so. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them at Macedonia. And Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. I'll actually be saying a little more about this later in the week. When we make a commitment, again, this is to the Lord. This is serious business. And we need to remember that. And we don't need to make a commitment just because someone else does. And there's a testimony even in that as a local church makes a commitment to do something. There's a testimony that reaches not only this local assembly, but reaches outside this local assembly. The church at Corinth had made a commitment. Paul had boasted. He had shared that commitment they had made with other churches. It encouraged them to give and them to do more. But now the Corinthian church has not fulfilled on their giving. You see what I'm saying? So there is something there with a testimony to remember. So the other Macedonian church that we'll look at later is the church at Thessalonica. And this was founded on part of the support of the church at Philippi. Of that church, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians, if you want to go there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 8, for from you, I think I've already read this, but from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also I didn't read it before, but in also, in every place, your faith is Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. This local assembly had reached their country and the bordering areas, and it left Paul speechless at what they had done. He said that we can't even say a thing about it. You as a local assembly, I can tell you are a mission-minded and mission-hearted church. And I know you folks know the difference. You just don't talk about it. You're involved in it. You're doing it. I want to just encourage you tonight to continue doing what you're doing. And if God permit, do more in the next year than you were able to do last year. I want to quickly just bring a few points about these Macedonian churches, and tonight I will be speaking of them in general, and tomorrow night we will look at them individually. But first of all, they gave to their ability. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3. They gave to their power. That is, they gave to the ability that they had. They knew they could budget it. They knew, hey, this works, we can budget this, we can do this. So they gave to their ability. That means that their means were limited. Okay, first of all, if you just give to your ability, you're limiting your giving. Their burden, but also, not only did they give to their ability, but they gave beyond their ability. And they sacrificed in that. Their burden for others led them to share with others about their faith and about also their giving. Sometimes we think about what we can budget. I'll just speak bluntly now, okay? We think about what we can reach in the billfold, or what we can reach in the bank account, or what we can reach in the checkbook, and we think of that. That's to our ability. That's to our budget. That's to our thinking. That's to our planning. But let me ask this question. Where's the faith? Is faith involved in that? No. We know, really, it's not. That's not faith promise giving. I'm not going to discourage you from giving to your ability, by no means. But I'm saying, is that where it's really about? Is that where it starts? Is that where it stops? But they did give to their ability. The Bible tells us that. They also gave when it was inconvenient. Another verse that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2, the Bible tells us that they were in a great trial of affliction. These Christians knew what it meant to suffer for Jesus Christ. What did it do? Did it discourage them? No, it strengthened their faith. Their suffering strengthened their faith. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2, it says they gave out of their deep poverty. They were not just poor, they were extremely poor. I don't know this audience tonight. I don't know your finances. I don't want to know your finances. But as I look at this audience, I don't see anybody here that looks like you're living in extreme poverty. Now, the place that we live and work, they're poor. They are. And some are in extreme poverty. I can share with you stories where the national pastor there, our national pastor, he, during our Faith Promise conference one year, he felt so convicted, he said, I'm not going to buy a Coke. I'm going to give that money to missions. I'm not going to get a haircut. I'll cut my own hair. I'm going to give that money to missions. They are more like what we read of the Macedonian churches, not of the American churches. But I'm not here to browbeat you or anything by no means. That is not what I want to do. I want to encourage you. But these people gave the Macedonian churches here in Corinthians, they gave out of deep poverty. What do we do in times of economic distress? The first thing we want to cut from our budget is maybe something of the least importance or something that we love the least. It amazes me when churches have financial problems, their missions program is typically the first thing they cut. I don't understand it. I'm not the pastor. I won't answer for that local assembly. That's between that pastor and the Lord, but I'm just saying I don't understand it. I mean, you think about it personally. If you have to make a budget cut in your family, or maybe if you're in charge of something in your workplace and you have to make a budget cut, you try to cut it where it's something that's least important, something that you don't care all that much about. Missions should be number one, should always be number one. Their poverty was extreme. Economically, they were on the bottom of the scale. But yet they still kept their commitment. And Paul's using them as an example to the Corinthian church. And oh, by the way, go study the city of Corinth in Bible days. This was a very prominent, wealthy city. This was not a poor community. This was a city that had a lot of commerce, that had a lot of funds, that had a lot of opportunity to make money and to give money. You go, let me encourage you, go study. Go study your Bibles. Go study Bible history during this time. Well, another thing they gave, I already mentioned this, number three, they gave beyond their ability. They gave to their power, to their ability, but the Bible tells us they gave beyond their power. That is, by their ability to give. How? How can you do that? By faith. Their burden was to give so great that they gave beyond their ability to even take care of it themselves. One story that I like to share about my son, we were on our pre-field ministry, and this was many, many years ago. We were in a conference up north, and actually we were there with Dr. Burge and Mrs. Burge, and just the week before we were in our home church in Greenville, Tennessee. And we had had a Faith Promise conference there, and we had made our commitments. And that week, my son, he was about, I don't know, 7, 8 years old at that time. And we had been talking with him during the week, and he wanted to give the Faith Promise too. And so one evening, he just come to me, and he was like, "Dad, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. I'm 8 years old. I don't have a job, Dad. I don't have any way to make any money." And I said, "Son, it's about faith. It's not about what you have. It's about what you don't have to trust God with." And so I prayed with him, and he was afraid, which I appreciate. He was afraid to make a commitment because he was like, "I'm making a commitment to God. I need to follow through with this." So he committed he would give God $1 a week. And so he was like, "Dad, I don't know how." And I said, "Well, let's trust the Lord." So we were up in the conference there in Maryland. We walked in that evening before church. The first night we walked in, and Sister Alice Burge walked up to both of my children and gave them a $20 bill. Just a few days later. And my son, he looked at me, and eyes about this big, and he was like, "Dad, I knew God would do it, but I didn't know He'd do it like this." Well, we all say that sometimes, right? We know God can do it, but we don't know how He can do it, but He can do it. They also gave the Macedonian churches, they gave their own selves. They gave more than just money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. Let's read this verse. I don't think I've read this. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. They first gave them their own selves. You know, when God gets you, He'll get the rest. And, you know, He's just not, God's not just after your money. He's not after your money. He wants you. He wants your commitment. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to sell out for Him. And, you know, when you do that, you won't have a problem in your giving. You won't have a problem in your faith and trust in Him to give that beyond your ability. So they gave themselves. Another thing, they gave willingly. The Apostle Paul was encouraging the Corinthian church. The Corinthians there and these Christians there in that local assembly to follow the example of the Macedonian churches. In verse number 8, let's look at that again. Chapter 8, verse number 8. Chapter 8, verse number 8. And I speak not of commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I'll be talking about that a little bit more later this week, about proving the sincerity of your love. He's encouraging this church to do this. They gave willingly. They gave of themselves, and they gave willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, the Bible tells us this, that every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. During this week, I pray that you're challenged from God's Word. You won't be challenged by my words, but I pray you'll be challenged from God's Word, and that the Lord will speak to you in about an amount that you would commit to give in the next year to the Lord. The Bible also tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I've heard many say, give till it hurts, or give till you're happy. Give till it feels good. I've heard different statements like that over the years. But you be praying about what God would have you personally do. That's what I want to encourage you with. Their giving did prove their love. It proved the sincerity of their love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8, which we already read, and also in verse number 9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on this week, that Jesus Christ proved His love. The Apostle Paul is asking the Corinthian church to prove their love by giving. Prove you care by doing something about it. The other thing the Macedonian churches were, their giving was effective. It was very effective. Go with me over to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of the things made ready in our hand. It enabled the gospel to go to regions beyond. After studying the example, and I'm just giving you really the foundation this evening of the Macedonian churches. After studying the example of these Macedonian churches, it becomes very clear that the major focus was on missions giving. It's very clear. Think with me. They were in deep poverty. We read that. We understand that, right? There's no confusion there. They were in deep poverty. So anything that they gave, it wasn't just in their budget. Okay? It would have been sacrificially giving. Number one, it either had to be sacrificially or by faith. Right? We would agree. There's no other ground, I think. We would agree because of their deep poverty, it had to be one or two of these things. If anything they gave, for whatsoever reason they give it, it would have to be either sacrificial giving or by faith. And we're not to give in some equal giving. My son wasn't, I didn't ask him to give a dollar and ask my daughter to give a dollar. I asked them both to pray about what God would have them to do. It's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. And that's what we should do. The best way to learn really about these Macedonian churches is to look at the letters that Paul wrote to them. These Macedonian churches, of course, are Thessalonica and Philippi. And Lord willing, we'll be looking tomorrow night at these two churches and what they did individually in their giving when it comes to missions. And why Paul wanted to use them as an example to share with the Corinthian church, to encourage this church at Corinth to do what was right. You know, folks, again, shame on me, but I've not been familiar, although I met your pastor several years ago, I've not been familiar with your church. It's the first time, again, that we visited. But I have heard very good things about this church and about their commitment to missions and their giving and their sacrificial giving to God's work to the regions beyond. And I will tell you from someone that lives on a foreign field, it resonates with nationals when they know of churches that give. You set an example for the missionaries that you support to go and to say, hey, this is what this church does in America. This is what they do. And it encourages them to follow your example. So folks, I want to encourage you this week in the Lord. I would ask everyone to stand at this time. I can be long-winded, and typically I am known for that. But this evening, I feel that this would be the time for me to stop. I would ask everyone to please just bow your heads at this time. And if someone could please come to the piano, and we'll just have just a few moments here playing softly. And I would just ask each of you to use this time and talk to the Lord. Where is your heart concerning missions? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 tells us this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What would God have you to do this week? Please use this time and talk with the Lord.